Before we begin, I want to let you know that this particular episode touches on the themes of post-traumatic stress disorder, childhood sexual assault, and even combat experiences. So I want you to use your discretion on whether you want to proceed with this episode or not. Thank you. Do you dream of having a life of significance in your faith, your family, and your career or business? Then you're in the right place. Welcome to Beyond the Rut, the podcast that shares encouraging stories and practical advice to help pull you out of your rut into that life worth living. I'm your host, Jerry Dugan, and in this episode, I've got a special treat for you, very deep conversation with a new friend, well, old friend now by the time you see or hear this episode, and that is Ed Squire. Ed is a speaker as well as digital creator who helps spread the message that we need to see more visible kindness in the world. But if you were to backtrack on Ed's life, he was a successful corporate guy earning a high six-figure income, maybe even seven-figure income, I forget which, but he had a high income. He had all the boxes checked of what your career should look like. However, deep down inside, he knew something was off. His nightlife, his family relationships, things were just not fulfilling or deep, and he discovered later in life that he was still dealing with childhood traumas of sexual abuse. And we opened up and had this conversation when we met at Podcast Movement 2023. So this is that conversation from August 2023. I had just met the man that afternoon. We got to talking. Somebody handed us a recording booth, said, "Would you like to record?" And we said, "Let's do this because this will help somebody out." And we wanted to specifically share this with you during Sexual Assault Awareness Month in April. And so do listen to this episode, share it with people you think will benefit from it. Do let them know that we are talking about these themes. So don't just surprise this on anybody. And I want to also apologize ahead of time. The sound quality in what you're about to listen to or watch isn't the greatest, because it turns out, even though we had this cool booth with cool microphones and, you know, to Ed and I, we sounded great because we got to monitor ourselves on those microphones. Somebody didn't hit record on the actual microphone. So what we have is what the camera picked up, not the actual microphones. So we've done some enhancement of the audio to make it sound as best as possible. But the content is there. The story is there. The realness, the rawness of Ed is there. And I hope that helps somebody out there who's listening or watching right now. So with that said, let's begin. Here we go. Folks, my name is Jerry Dugan, in case you forgot who I am. For the history of my show, and so this is Beyond the Rut. I got to meet Ed Squire like 3 to 5 minutes ago through Junaid, and then this booth opened up at Podcast Movement, and they said, "You guys want in here?" We said yes, and it's cool because you have a really cool story that talking about, you know, the show is all about, you know, we might have all the things that check off the boxes for success, but deep down inside, we feel stuck in a rut in some way, shape, or form. And in chatting with you, getting your story, I was like, holy cow. And, you know, if you're willing to share it, I'm willing to go there. But tell us, I guess, because most of us don't know who you are. Ed, tell us who you are.
Yeah, well, and that's, I'm not a famous person. I don't have a huge podcast, a huge business, or a huge anything. But I've, all I know is I used to be the type of person who had a very successful job. And I used to like telling people what I used to do.
What did you do?
Yeah. Perfect question. And I used to say it like this, okay? So I'm a consultant for Fortune 500 companies and global companies in the US, Canada, and Europe. I'm like a senior trusted advisor for companies like Pepsi-Cola Global, Boeing Corporation, Wells Fargo, and work with the top leaders of those companies. And
what kind of consulting did you like focus on? Like leadership development, or that's kind of my niche.
But it was very interesting because most of it had to do with some kind of analysis of what's not working internally or externally when it came to technical process, not technical, but understanding what process really means in their company. And I'm saying it like that because. Yeah. At the end of the day, I used to feel inside it was great telling people. I'm a senior consultant for Fortune 500 companies and global companies. Yeah. In the United States, Canada, and Europe.
And people perk up like,
I used to live in Europe. I used to live in Geneva, in Switzerland. I used to live. And I used to say it nicely. with humble. But inside, it felt great because that's who I was.
Yeah.
Not everybody lives and relies on what they do as being their identity.
Yeah. And more people than you realize do that. Yeah, you know, it's. I've come across folks where they work in a certain career path for 2 to 3 decades, get laid off, job deleted, and all of a sudden they're like, now who I am? Who am I? Now what do I do? And, you know, so a lot of us do. I mean, even myself, I used to be a soldier in the army. I'm like, yeah, I'm a soldier.
Oh, my God.
In America. I'm a combat medic. And so to say those things, it's like, yeah. But then, you know, at the end of the day, though, it's like, well, who am I really? Like, and that's the guy I've been trying to be. And it's part of what drives me on the ride. And so I understand where people do get that enjoyment. But that's not all there is to life, though, is there? And you've got a part to your life that people just wouldn't know just by looking at you that this is also part of your life.
And that's right.
Yes, right. Get into that for us.
So a big thing, a big problem is in my life, when I lost that job due to mental health issues, I took time off. Because I thought, you know what? If you've been doing this as long as I've been doing it, you've made a couple million dollars, chances
you
are you're stressed out. Because I thought, you know, it's like, you travel a lot and you get stressed.
Yeah.
So I thought taking 3 months off would be great. And that did not do good. And I took 6 months off. It did not do good. I ended up getting worse, worse, worse. You see, the reality is, the problem is, the story is that I was sexually abused as a child from age 3 until I was 10. And I thought I was okay when I grew up, but I was not.
Yeah.
So I lived a life that had a lot of dark, dark sides to it that nobody ever knew about until recently, which I'm actually doing a documentary about my life. And now what's important is your identity is really in who you are. And so whenever people ask me what I do, I always, you know, like, well, what do you mean? I like to ask, what do you mean?
Yeah.
You know, because there's a lot of things I do, but I love being myself. I love being me. And I love, being kind to people, being kind to myself is a big deal. Because I used to not be kind to myself because I was suicidal. I used to be not kind to other people because I had serious issues just with mental health at the time.
Yeah.
And so after having overcome those things, and some of them will always be a challenge in my life, I know that there's a lot of people that need to be encouraged and impacted and changed by these things. That's why my podcast is called Visible Kindness. Not because I thought, oh, that'd be good. It's because it's about being kind to yourself and being kind to others and what a difference that will make in the world. And that's what my life is about now and why I'm doing a documentary. So it's pretty wild.
Yeah, from just the short time I've known you, I could tell that your hope is that whatever you say and do help somebody else go and do some kindness to somebody else. So it's not like, look at me, what a great person I am.
No.
That's of the kind. It's like, look at this, and I hope that helps you go be nice. They're like, go pay it forward now. And not like that comedian who, like, tried to start the pay it forward chain at the drive-through window of a fast food. And speed around and get in behind the guy. But to genuinely encourage people to let go of whatever bitterness they're holding on to, and just could be kind to someone.
Yes.
I love it. Yeah, you never know what somebody is going
through,
because we're only seeing the world through our perspective, our lens.
That's right.
To a person, you know, could have gone through 7 years of hell and you would never know it. And so it's you know, powerful to share that too. You know, so timeline, it sounds like you went through this abuse for a very long time, for one.
Yeah.
In an age where you probably didn't know any better other than this doesn't feel good. And it sounds like it was later in life when you realized what you were going through then connected the dot that to me.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So what happened was when I just said to you that I was just mentally I needed a break.
Yeah.
Well, what happened before that? So that was in 2016, in June of 2016, when my doctor and my boss said, dude, you need to take some time off, take a break. Mm-hmm. Back it up to November of 2015. I sat in a Starbucks, I sat with a friend, and for the very, very first time in my life, I was able to tell someone my full entire
story. Yeah. How old were you at that time?
It was 2015.
And
I'm 2023 now.
Yeah.
So I'm about that one.
So whatever you were 8 years ago.
About 8 years ago. Thank you. I have ADHD. That's just the way it is.
I feel your pain, man.
So right after I told someone for the first time, he left. He said, thank you so much for telling me it. And I'd love to go for coffee again. And he left. And I thought, that feels so great. And then right after he left, an 18-year-old girl leaned over and she said, I'm sorry. She goes, I didn't mean to hear what you were saying. And I thought, what? Right? Like what? And she goes, but were you involved in child sex trafficking? And I thought, oh, thank God. No, I wasn't. I mean, I didn't say that, but I was just like, because I was involved, unfortunately, and I spent a lot of money on prostitution. Right, this because it's the dark part of my life that is going to be in my documentary that's coming out, where I'm not afraid to talk about it, and it's hard. And I said, no, I didn't get involved in that. And then she described to me what childhood sex trafficking is like, and have you ever seen that? Have you ever experienced that? And she was with approximately 12 other boys and girls that were young, and an older man who was their teacher, who's one of my best friends today.
Yeah,
because they were putting together a project that dealt with child sex trafficking in Denver. So the FBI was there, the CIA, local police, and organizations were there. There's over 1,000 people. And they asked me if I would come and speak at it, because when she asked me that question, I realized for the very first time in my life that had happened. It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible. Long story short, I ended up speaking at her event. Not her event, but their event, this organization. And I spoke after the FBI, and it was yeah.
Right?
Tell me about it. I mean, I was crying on stage, and it was horrible. And then 2 weeks later, I went to Canada, and I spoke at an event where a childhood friend of mine, she wrote a book about her brother, and he ended up committing suicide because he was sexually abused by the same teacher I was sexually abused by. And so I spoke at a book release. And then there was a TV documentary for Korea that came in that wanted to film a documentary story about my life. All of that, when I got back to Denver, that's why I went like this. That's why I took time off work. That's when I became suicidal. That's when I never went back to doing my job as a high-end consultant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you had all these things that had never been dealt with, and in one fell swoop, bam, band-aid ripped off, and it's like, how do I deal with all that? And I know I've gone through that with my combat experience. It was like, right, done, bottle it up. I'm not telling my family about this. But it found ways to bubble up throughout my kids' lives. And I remember my wife and I having a conversation about, like, this needs to get addressed because it's scary. And I still never admitted to it till a friend of mine was like, you gotta get your VA benefits, man, because they'll give you a check. And I'm like, really? And then so getting screened for that, it was like, all right, well, tell us about what sticks out to you from your combat times. Like, what's an event that sticks out? And I told them. And when I told them, it was just like that. I was like there again. And it was like, well, how is that kid doing that was helping save his brother? And it was just like, and I just remember crying for no reason and all those things. And it's just like, to have trauma come back, it's just like, you got to have somebody to come in and start providing support. Otherwise, it can just fall apart.
Yes.
And I mean, that's huge. And when we were talking before we hit record, you know, one thing I didn't share with you is that for a good, what was the window here? 3 to 4 years, I worked as a community educator for a battered women's shelter, sexual assault prevention center, or crisis center. And so my job was to go into schools and talk about bully bystander behavior, sexting, and the impact of cyberbullying on people.
Dude, I'm so glad I met you.
Yeah.
I didn't even know this.
I was hearing your story, I'm like, this guy has no idea why I'm so interested in talking about this with him, and if he's willing to share, let's do this. And I remember going to a conference that was hosted by the National... NCMEC is the short version of it, but they're the folks that look for missing children, exploited children. And there was like one presentation that made me go home and say, kids, you're going to online school. You're never going to an actual college. Here's why. Boom, 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 boom. And in fact, if you meet anybody online, also pass that through us. We'll let you know if any red flags are there. And we're not going to say you can't be on the internet, but here's some things to watch out for. And it was just like, something they had said during that thing was like, when you look at, by the time an abuser of girls is caught, that abuser typically has about 50 victims that they've impacted by the time they're caught. For abusers of boys, it's closer to 150 before they are caught. And then I had friends in that space who worked with people who were recovering from child sex abuse. And the number is like, in our lifetime, for men, we're talking about from birth till death, one in six of us will be victims of sexual assault. And sometimes that happens, a lot of times it's in childhood. Like, I think more than half of the victims are in childhood. And then there's a small sliver of folks who get assaulted while they're in college, they get drugged. And then the rest, the bigger chunk, is when we're in our older years. We were assaulted by care providers. But when it comes to people coming forward, male victims coming forward and saying something, it's almost non-existent because us guys stigmatize ourselves. And we're like, what? You got what?
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
Because I thought, because I got this big successful job, I thought I'm okay. But now that I look back on it, because they let me go because I was on 6 months of long-term absence.
Yeah.
I found out after a ton of recovery work that the reason why I liked being a successful high-end consultant for Fortune 500 companies is I wanted my dad to say, good for Liam.
Wow.
It's because my dad was sexually abused by the same man as sexually abused
me. Oh, geez, yeah.
His stepdad.
Yes.
And my step-grandfather. Now, my dad did not have what it took as a man to be a man over his son. And I get that. I understand that. So I never had a dad to look after me. So I wanted him to say, and you have done so well.
Yeah.
But he never said it. So it didn't make me angry, but it just made me, it's just like, that's why I wanted to be successful.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to make money. Because I knew dad would just look at me and say, good for you. It never happened.
Yeah.
So when I was... had this situation, now just wraps, the whole thing wraps around now. When I talked in Starbucks for the first time, was overheard by somebody else, and then everything came up.
Yeah.
And that's why I wasn't able to keep the job, and that's why there's no way I'll ever go back to that kind of job.
Yeah.
I don't want to work that kind of job.
You're kind of set free from that too.
I don't care.
Because also in that type of role, there's that sense of, I can control this. I am in charge.
That's right.
You know, we're already taught as men, go pursue where you're in charge.
That's
you're
right.
Big cheese. And when you have this kind of thing you're healing from and trying to compensate for it, you do go pursue that kind of thing.
But, I mean, as for you, it's a whole, I had no idea, like, because we just met.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Standing and having a nice conversation, having the opportunity to do this, film it, record it. I had no idea that you had a background of being in military.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have friends, a friend of mine who he unfortunately died in a motorcycle accident, but he was also a veteran, and we were good friends.
Yeah.
And he had PTSD, and I've also got PTSD. We met and talked all the time about the things that we struggled against. It didn't matter if mine was sex abuse, it didn't matter if his was what came from being military.
Trauma's trauma.
It's trauma's trauma.
The same emotions are there.
Exactly. Yeah. It was just so great to hear from you that you know, you're another friend of mine that I connect with, that knows what it's like. And the reality is life is incredible, and it's great, and it takes a lot of work to overcome it.
Like the stuff you're telling me before we got into this booth, the darker side of life you pursued, that, like, when you look at the statistics, that's where most former victims or victims would go through. Like, the majority of them go through those unhealthy coping mechanisms, and it doesn't matter if it was a male victim or a female victim.
Yeah,
they go after the sex, drugs, and the things that will relieve, at least in the moment, those feelings. I'm no psychologist, but just from the work I had done, I understand that experience. Even my brother and I, when our parents divorced when I was 11, there's some stuff we went through there as well. And my listeners know.
So your leg is young.
Yeah,
that's young.
Yeah, and well, my brother was nine, so he was younger. And when you look at the things he, a lot of people, I still hate to this day, the comparison game between my brother and I. Like, people will tell my brother, why can't you be more like Jerry? I'm like, Now, when I was 11, it was like, yeah, why can't you be more like
sure,
this?
Sure, sure, sure.
Or at least up until I was 11, because when I was younger, it was like, yeah, I'm the smart one. Sure, I'm the quick thinker. But, you know, my brother was the tougher one. And, you know, knowing what I know now, looking back at our lives, it's like when you see the unhealthy things he's taken on into his life over the last three decades of our lives, it's like, I wish my brother didn't have to go through that. And whenever somebody says, why can't your brother be more like him? I'm like, you stop. Like, you weren't there. And it's just like, don't. You know, it's like, he's got to overcome some stuff.
That's right.
I don't know how I got to the things I did. I can give credit to where I feel credit's due, but I was lucky. My brother was not. Or, you know, I have cousins who've gone through their traumatic experiences.
Yes.
They weren't so lucky. I was lucky. I was blessed. Don't compare them to me.
Yeah.
Please do not ever. And it's just like, it just frustrates me. And it's just like, you know, to have compassion for somebody who does find their way at some point, recognize they have this past that they had to deal with. And this is where I'm going now. Like, this is my new path. And that's what I saw when we're chatting out here. This is the direction. I want visible kindness because I want people to be inspired to be kind to each other. And it's just like, that would just change so much.
So, you know, that podcast I have called Visible Kindness.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge successful podcaster. I did it for 2 years.
You learn.
Yeah, you said that. So I'm in good company. It's great.
Yeah.
But what's important, really, and I'm sure you feel the same way, it's we have to look after ourselves first. And being successful and that work, I think, is not that important. What's important is are we being kind to ourselves? Are we looking after ourselves? And then are we able to? This is why I started to do Visible Kindness, because I'm so negative to myself. I was very self-loathing as a part, right? And that's what made me not only suicidal, but I always wanted to act like I just wanted you to think a certain thing about me.
Yeah,
because I was a Christian. Okay, so depends on what you call that. So. At church, people believed I was a Christian, because I was, and I was part of the youth leading group. And then at the same time, I went to strip clubs with my other friends. So I lived these two different places, right?
Yeah, it was like you were doing ministry at the strip club. You were going as a patron. Yeah.
Well, actually, no, I was... Yes, I mean, I went not as a Christian at all.
Yeah.
Right? Because because I have this dark side to my life, I just couldn't get over them. But what ended up happening was I learned that it was very important to be kind to myself. Right? We all need to be kind to ourselves. And we all need to be kind to other people.
Yeah.
And we need to be thinking that what other people are going through, and you said this just a few minutes ago, you never know what other people are going through. You don't know. So you can't blame people, right? So when I think about how much I care about myself, and how much I care about others without judging people. I mean, it even comes to when you're driving your car.
Yeah.
You don't know why somebody cuts you off for speeding. You don't know what's going on. Now, it may not be because we're doing a good thing, but when we stop judging people, I'll give you an example where kindness has become such a huge thing for me. And that's where I started the podcast. I was at the gas station a few weeks ago, and I have a Sam's Club membership. I went to put my card in, because you have to be a Sam's Club member.
Yes.
But the card wouldn't work. And I'm like, people are waiting for you, I'm like, my card's not working. Why is that? So I thought, I gotta go talk to the administrator or whoever's sitting in the glass office there, because it's 100 degrees out.
Yeah.
So I go out there. I don't want to go out there. Walking over there, and he was an elderly man.
Oh, man.
And because elderly people work at Walmart. Elderly people work at these. And so I'm at the window, and I'm frustrated. So tap, tap, tap. And I said, hey, the card's not working. And he says to me, you're in the wrong window. You need to be on this side of the office.
So, oh, wow.
So I'm thinking, well, that was rude.
Yeah.
I work so hard not to become angry at people. I work so hard at this, even if you have a rough day. So I'm like, okay. So I go out to the other side of the window. I hold the card up and go, look. But I didn't say it. I'm acting. Right? But I said, okay. So he knew. So he came out, and he starts walking with me. And you could tell he was angry to get out of the office for whatever.
Yeah.
Now, the old me would have either said nothing, Or like, what is like why did you, why were you so, like, why were you such a jerk? I don't try to do that anymore. And I said to him, I said, so are you having a good day? Like, how's your day going? I said it like that.
Yeah.
And he says to me, he says, I have cancer.
Oh, man.
I have fourth phase, is it fourth?
I think the, yeah.
Fourth level of, yeah. Of kidney cancer.
Stage four,
yes. And then it hit me, right? And I said, I am so sorry that you're going through that. He goes, it's okay. He said, thanks for asking. He said, let's see if we can get your card working. So he got the card working, first shot. And I'm like, what?
What? Like, that ain't fair.
How are you using it? So I showed him, he goes, you're hired in the wrong way. So what's interesting is I have used this for years.
Yes.
I know how to use the card. But for some reason, life caused me, and I believe God caused me, to put it in a way that I was forced to go talk to this man, be kind, and come out and be nice to him. And so he puts me in, and I looked at him and said, well, you know what? He goes, I don't know what he said, but it was a nice meeting. And I said, it was a nice meeting you too.
Yeah.
Now that.
My pastor would call that a divine appointment.
Yes.
Like, you normally wouldn't meet that person, but for whatever reason, you met that person, and that was the interaction. And, you know, who knows how that impacted this.
That's right.
I mean, you know how it impacted this day and this moment.
Oh, and I told him, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I told him, I said, I'm going to pray about you. I'm going to pray about your lung cancer or your kidney cancer, because God can do anything. And he said, well, thank you so much. And just like you said, it was a God thing that happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, I love that. And, you know, it's been 8 years since that moment in the Starbucks coffee shop.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was supposed to name brands, but anyway, too late, did it?
Like a coffee shop.
So in the 8 years, I mean, you've done some healing. You've gone through some processes.
Dude.
And, you know, I'm sure among the folks listening to the show right now, they're probably realizing, hey, I went through this too.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I still haven't dealt with it. And I know from my work that that is the case, that there are men that have gone through abuse in their younger lives, and they're trying to compensate for it without ever actually dealing with it. And you found a way to address it and start healing from it. So what practical advice would you give to those listening if they're realizing they too have things they got to deal with, but they don't know where to start? What would you let them know?
I am smiling because everything happens for a reason. So I have an organization called Me Too, What Now? All spelt. Me Too, not the, like T-O-O, What Now? And it's I started that when I was it's been 7 years. So I started it when I was still going through the lawsuit, you know, against my abuser in school. And so it's MeTooWhatNow.com. And oh my gosh, go there. My story is there in video, because I'm a video creator and I love filming.
Yeah.
My story is there. There's a book you can download that is made by a survivor, not a doctor, not a psychologist. Because you know what? Survivors need to have their own. I always tell people, as a survivor, it's good to see a psychiatrist or a pastor or you need to get help. You also need to connect with other survivors, because they'll relate to you.
Because it's a story where it's that Me Too response. It's like,
that's right.
That happened to me too.
That's
and they hear
right.
your story, it's like, me too.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then the question is, me too, and then what now? So I tell people, I teach people, I help people. Once you get to a place where you may not have healed completely, it may take a long time. It's taken me years.
Yeah.
But I can at least get to a place where I can go, well, why now? I'm not a high-end consultant. I'm like, what should I do? And I can do whatever I want.
Yes.
Because I'm a Christian, I can ask God, what do you have for me? And so I started Visible Kindness. Visible Kindness is my what now. So I ask him, what is yours? If you don't have one yet, it's okay. Because you can do anything you want. And Me Too, What Now can help you get there.
And then,
I'm so glad you asked that.
Oh, man. I'm glad I asked it, too. Because so you guys have a practical place to go.
Yes.
Go there.
It's good. It's really good.
Yeah, because you're not going to heal it for me. I'm not that community. but there is a place to go. And I'm glad we got to have this conversation. So MeTooWhatNow.com is the place to go. If you're a podcast listener, I mean, obviously, because you're listening to my show, guys, I know it was a dumb thing to say. Add its podcast to your list of shows you subscribe to. So again, that's the Visible Kindness Podcast. And before we go, any final words of wisdom you would share with folks?
I think the biggest thing to say, that's it. Thank you for asking me that and not being allowing me to be prepared.
Oh, that's how I do it, yeah.
But it's the best thing that I do every single day is for me, I just know that you can't think too far down the road. There's, like, I help this lady in San Diego. I'm filming her life story in a documentary. She used to be a youth pastor. She's not anymore because she has ALS, and she can't walk, and she's not well. And she asked me to come back to help film her story. This was last year. And I said, Jessica, I said, I may not be able to come back. And she said, oh, it's okay. It'd be nice if you could, you know, she felt bad for asking me to come back. But she didn't understand what I meant, and I told her right away. Because she has a personality like mine, so it worked. Thankfully, she's a wonderful woman. And I said, Jessica, there's no guarantee that I'm going to make it from you and your husband's house right now to the airport in California, and then to Denver, and then from Denver back here. There's no guarantee I'm going to make it. I could pass away before you do.
Oh, wow.
I could.
Yeah.
There ain't no guarantee. Jessica, me being here to film your story had brought me to a place where I realized that every single moment that we have is the only time that we have to be grateful for what's going on. We can't think down the road. And you have taught me so much because you are in a serious disease that is taking your life. And she's had to deal with that. Well, most of us don't think like that.
Yeah.
We don't think like that.
Oh, we don't.
I got this week. I got this to do next week. That to do next week. I can't wait to connect with you. But the reality is there's no guarantee. And when we're done with this episode right now, I'm going to make it back home.
Yeah.
There is no guarantee. So the biggest thing you can do, the biggest thing that I can do that I've learned is just to be in the moment, be grateful for the time that I have at one moment at a time. And that helps me to stay in a positive mood and in a happy mood. Instead of thinking about the future because there may be challenges, or thinking about the past because if there was pain, or whatever. What? The moment that we have in the present is all we've got.
Yeah.
And Jerry, it was so great meeting you.
Yeah.
It was so great meeting you.
This is like serendipity upon serendipity upon serendipity. And y'all don't know this, but I was just saying hi to my friend Janaid, who I'm going to be on his show a week after we recorded this.
He's going
to
be on mine.
And then, Janaid ditched us, and we just wound up chatting. And I'm like, oh, man, it'd be cool if we could record this. And I'm thinking ahead, like 2024. And Janaid's like, shouts from I don't know where. And he's like, hey, guys, this booth is open. Do you want to record? And we're like, yeah, let's do this. And then we had to ask the actual lady running the show, and she was like, well, yeah, I shut this down at 5:30 and it's like 4:45, so I'll give you this amount of time. So we're like, yeah, oh man, this is so
great. I would love to have you on my podcast.
That'd be an honor.
I would love to. It would be fantastic. So I'll absolutely.
This is one of those rare times I get to shake a hand at the end of the interview.
Yeah,
because these are usually remote.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sorry, I don't even know. Where you live where?
In Dallas.
You do live in Dallas. Okay, cool. That's just so great.
But all the good hiking's over here, I hear. So.
Yeah, well, I'm originally from Canada.
There's more hiking up there.
Yeah. Man. I'm fired now. It was so great meeting you.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
And guys,
and for sharing your story, too.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't planning that. That just came out. I'm
sorry.
Oh, wow. Ripping band-aids all looking right here. And everybody, thank you for listening in, and I guess the outro is coming up right now. Oh, well, not now, but in the future now.
Yes.
Wow. I hope you got a lot out of that conversation like I did then. I got choked up a number of times, and that wasn't the end of it for me in that evening. I went on to have dinner with some new friends, some podcasters, and somebody had shared with me, Amanda had shared with me that Beyond the Rut actually saved one of her friends from committing suicide, from, as another friend of mine says, exiting the chat early. And I didn't know that. She had shared with me that the show had helped one of her friends change his life. She didn't tell me until that evening when we're having dinner with a bunch of other friends that that friend was contemplating suicide. And she had shared my show with him and to give him some encouragement. She didn't know he was that bad along until later that evening or later that week. But that one episode that she shared with him took him down a rabbit hole of other Beyond the Red episodes. And he eventually came up to an episode where I talked with an old Army buddy of mine, Ryan Maines, and he talked about his struggles with PTSD and how he pushes forward and uses his misery, in a sense, or his struggle as a way to inspire and encourage others. So his misery had become his ministry, in a sense. I don't know if Ryan's a religious person or Christian or anything like that, but he knows he has that higher purpose, that higher sense of calling to help others from the pain that he had experienced. And I had to share that with Ryan when that was shared with me. And Ryan was so grateful to hear that, because we don't always know if our story, if our victories are helping others do the same, if we're inspiring people or not. A lot of times, if we hear from anybody, it's somebody who has a critique or who's just kind of giving us platitudes. But we never really get to hear that, at least not on a regular basis, that we truly and profoundly impacted somebody's lives. And I want to give a little shout out to my high school physics teacher and math analytics, Mr. Gordon Jones, because I was asked a few weeks back, who is somebody who impacted your life in such a big way and really shaped your worldview? I'm paraphrasing the question, but I thought about it, because there are a lot of people in my life who had impacted me and helped me change my perspective. I've given credit to an O'Neill family. That was my foster parents and my foster family when I lived in Germany at 11 years old. I've talked about many other people who inspired me and encouraged me along my journey in life. But there was this one high school teacher who really opened my eyes up to a bigger world. And it wasn't just enough for him to do that for me. He did that for every single one of his students, everything from field trips to really discerning what is a rule that makes sense, what is a rule that doesn't make sense, that should be changed or just civically disobeyed. And a lot of what he had taught me in those 2 years that he was my teacher has had a profound effect on my life 30 years later. And I reached out to him because my friend said I needed to do this. And so I reached out to Mr. Jones and I just wanted him to know, hey, I was asked this question. This was my answer. And I wanted you to hear about it. And besides, I'd love to have you on the show. And he replied back, said, thank you so much, that he's retired now and, not feeling the best. But I'm hoping that he'll feel better and get onto this show, because I'd love to capture his story, his perspective. And if I don't get that chance, I'll make an episode where I just share with you why he was so inspiring for me. Now, more importantly, if you want more of Ed, you want to listen to his show, Visible Kindness, you want to book him to be a speaker at your next event for your organization, go to the show notes of this episode, beyondtherut.com/413. There you'll find links to his website, his podcast, similar episodes on Beyond the Rut. I'll even include Ryan's episode where he and I spoke about PTSD and some other resources there for you as well. Now, the best thing you can do for this show is to pay it forward, but I also wanted to let you know that I also wanted to let you know that I started a Patreon community, and I'd love to have you be one of the first people in it. There are three levels you can get in on: $0, so free. That'll get you access to these episodes when they go live, as well as get you on my email newsletter. And then there's a $5 and a $10 level, and those give you greater access to content sooner than what the rest of the public gets. So, and some behind the scenes stuff, like you can watch live sessions of recording once a month, those kinds of things. So I'd love to have you in there. And if you got this far, thank you so much. And you may as well just go to beyondtherut.com/Patreon. But if, again, the show notes, beyondtherut.com/413, I'll also have the Patreon link in there as well. And, you know, hey, it was great to have you with me on this episode. And I look forward to joining with you again on the next one. But you know what? Until then, go live life beyond the rut. Take care.